Sermon 147. In this sermon, Imam Ali has given reasons for the missions of the prophets and also the cause of people in vying Ahlul Bayt, descendants of the Holy Prophet. He bestowed upon his prophets the sublime mission of carrying his messages to humanity and selected them to receive his revelations. He assigned them the august duty of proving to mankind the universality of truth and religion, so that humanity may not have the plea of having been left ignorant and uneducated. At the end of the long succession of messengers, he sent our Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants, to finally disclose before man the ultimate truth about the Creator and his creatures, and to invite mankind towards the path of his religion. Allah fully knows the limitation of human intelligence and understanding. He did not send his prophets to find this out, but to test the good ones who deserve to be endowed with his blessings and the wicked upon whom his wrath descended. Where are those people who pretend that they, and not we, Ahlul Bayt, have the full knowledge of the Holy Book, know everything about the creation, and possesses divine knowledge? These pretenders and imposters lie against truth and commit treachery to the cause of Allah and man. They lie against us and covet our position because the merciful Allah exalted our status and made them inferior to us. He conferred upon us the eminence which he denied them. He allowed us the entry to transcendental sphere to understand the meanings of divine revelation, which was denied to them. Remember that guidance could be acquired and ignorance could be dispelled through us only. Undoubtedly, the Imams shall be from the Quraysh, but it means from the descendants of Hashim, son of Abdul Manaf. The divine appointment has been made for this august progeny, as no one else deserves this sublime and sacred rank. These Umayyads preferred this vicious world to the realm of Allah. They chose the filthy waters of this world to the celestial nectar. I feel as if I am looking at one of their wicked and unholy caliphs. Some of the commentators think that by this Imam Ali meant Abdul Malik bin Marwan. He is a profligate and pervert. He adopted immoral life and loved it, and he could derive pleasures only out of sin and perversity. He passed his vicious life till his hair turned grey in wickedness and corruption, and evil habits became his second nature. Then he turned towards the world passionately, desiring for more and more, foaming and frothing at his mouth, in spite of oppositions, disrespecting the rights of humanity. In satisfying his vicious desires and exploiting human rights, he was like a river in floods, which does not care what it drowns, or like a blazing fire, which relentlessly consumes everything that it comes in contact with. Where are those people who have lighted the lamps of their wisdom with divine light and have improved their vision through piety and righteousness? Where are the hearts devoted to the cause of Allah who have taken a vow to obey Him implicitly? Let them see how these Umayyads are fallen on worldly gains and how they are flighting among themselves for power to commit more sins and vices. Though they had been fully initiated into the secrets of paradise and hell, yet they have turned their faces away from paradise and have shown keen desire of embracing hell. They have refused to hear the call of Allah and and have turned towards the devil to accept his invitation. Sermon 148. Part of a sermon in which Imam Ali has advised people to look at the world and to realize that nothing here can be achieved without losing something else, and that there are more sorrows in life than joys. O people, do you not realize your lives here are like targets at which fate is aiming its arrows? Do you not realize every draft of water or every morsel of food has the latent possibility of getting into your windpipe or choking your breath? You seldom get a good thing in life unless you part with something equally good in return for it. Every new day that dawns upon man reaches him only when he has already finished a day out of his life. There is no increase in the total span of life. A day is added only when the previous day is finished or lost. No new food is of any use to anybody unless he has consumed the one which he already had taken. No new custom is established but by deleting the old one. No new theory comes into being unless an old one is refuted. Nothing new comes into this world unless something old goes out of it. By the time the offspring grows into a full-fledged man, his parents are no more alive. Our forefathers have gone, but we are alive today. And how long shall we keep on living? Innovation will creep into Islam only when the traditions of the Holy Prophet are discarded. Keep off from innovation and sincerely follow the principles and precepts of Islam. What Allah has ordered you to do is actually the best thing for you. And what He has forbidden you is really the most harmful thing for you. Sermon 149. The second caliph sought the Imam's advice to lead the army in person against the Persians. He told Imam Ali that the Persians had gathered a huge army to invade the Muslim world. The Imam advised him not to go in person. Refer Sermon 137, wherein Imam Ali advised the second caliph not to personally lead the command of the army while on an expedition against the Romans. So long as victory or defeat of the Muslim forces is concerned, remember that it does not depend upon the strength of the army. Islam is the religion of Allah, which He aided till the Muslim Ummah attained the formidable position it now holds and secured the standing which it now maintains. We have strong faith in the promise of Allah. He will fulfill His promise and will come to the aid of His army. The position of the leader of the Muslim world is like a thread in a rosary or a string of pearl beads, keeping all the various sections of the community well integrated. If this thread is severed, all the beads will be scattered. Although the Arabs are not numerically strong today, yet their faith in Allah and Islam is a great source of their strength and a shield against their vulnerability. It is this unity that will bring them victories. You should not leave your place. Be like a pivot round which the milestone revolves. Send the Muslim army under command of somebody else. If you leave Medina, various tribes of Arab may invade the capital and you may be forced to concentrate more seriously on its defense. There is another thing worth consideration. If these Persians see you at the front, they will naturally feel that you are the guiding force of the army movement, and therefore they will try to capture you under the impression that by your removal the defending spirit of the Muslim soldiers would be defeated. Such an idea will embolden them to harm you in person. You tell me that the Persians have become aggressive. Let me tell you that Allah, the Almighty, never likes aggressive people. And He is more powerful than you in annihilating those whom He does not like. So far as the numerical superiority of the Persians is concerned, remember that the Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants, never fought his enemy with a large force. While fighting the unbelievers, he had more faith in the help of Allah than in numerical majority. Sermon 150. In this sermon, Imam Ali has discussed the following subjects briefly but very graphically and lucidly. What was Allah's purpose in sending the Holy Prophet and other prophets and messengers? How Allah punishes those who disobey Him? How Islam will be affected? And the Holy Quran and Ahlul Bayt will be treated after Imam Ali? Why do nations suffer? What kind of person the pious people are? How can you distinguish good from bad and virtue from vice? What is it which teaches pious people humility before Allah? The merciful Allah appointed Muhammad, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants, as his trustworthy messenger and entrusted him with the mission of converting people from idolatry to the worship of Allah and guiding them to obey him instead of obeying the Satan. The Holy Prophet explained the Holy Book so that on account of its teachings, people might recognize their Creator and Nourisher, and those who previously had no faith in Allah might change their views, while those who originally were unbelievers might be converted to a true religion. Glory be to Allah. He is far above the possibility of being seen by human eyes. Yet He revealed Himself to humanity through His book in such a way that without actually seeing Him, people could see His glory and might, could comprehend His wrath, and could realize how His wrath annihilated the sinners and how His punishment descended upon the wicked and vicious people. O people, soon after me, a time will come when you will find that there will be nothing more concealed, enigmatic, and unintelligible than religion, truth, and justice, and nothing more evident than infidelity, disbelief, and atheism. Nothing then will be more prevalent and more in common practice than lies against Allah and His Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants. People will feel that nothing is more injurious to their faith and activities than true and correct meaning of the Holy Quran, and nothing is more complementary to their wishes and desires than to twist its meanings and misinterpret its commands and interdictions. Nothing will be more hateful than goodness and piety, and nothing will be more loved than vice and sin. Those who are expected to have faith in this book will pay scant attention to its teachings, and those who are supposed to know by heart and to remember it in details will completely forget it. The Holy Book and its guardians, chosen descendants of the Holy Prophet, who understand and who can explain it, will suffer a setback by not receiving recognition by the society. These two will be each other's companion in journey. No one will befriend them, and no one will offer them protection. They will be found in gatherings, but no one will seek their advice or guidance. No one will make use of their knowledge either. This will happen because There cannot be anything common between paganism and the desire to follow the right path to salvation. They cannot complement each other and unite together. However, they may live near to one another. The result will be that Muslims will agree to differ with one another and will lose cohesion. They will act as if they are made to guide the Holy Quran, and the Holy Quran is not there to guide them. Among such people, nothing will remain of the Holy Quran, but only its name. Nothing will be comprehended by them, but its figures and letters. Before reaching this final stage, these people will ill-treat and tyrannize pious persons, whose truths will be regarded as lies and whose pious deeds will be considered as sins. It is a historical fact that people have always perished miserably because of their inordinate desires and immoderate ambitions. They never thought that they were to face death till death took them unawares. And then it was too late for them to repent, and the door of penitence was closed on them, and they were damned forever. O people, he who desires to seek the advice of Allah succeeds in his undertaking, and Allah grants him opportunities to secure his favor, and he who takes his holy book as his guide is directed towards the true path. Verily, those who are nearer to Allah spiritually enjoy eternal peace and blessings, and the enemies of Allah are in constant fear of damnation. Those who understand the glory and greatness of Allah do not think it proper to consider themselves great. They understand that their greatness of mind lies in realizing the grandeur and glory of Allah, and they comprehend how insignificant their existence is when compared to His might. Those who can comprehend His power feel it a blessing to follow His commands. Do not try to keep off from the true Imam, leader, like a healthy person trying to run away from a person suffering from a contagious disease. You must fully comprehend that you can never realize what guidance is and how it acts unless you know the case of the person who has gone astray, or of the one who is lost in the wilderness owing to ignorance. You cannot fulfill the pledges that you have made with the Holy Quran unless you fully realize the consequences of the persons who break such pledges. You cannot stick to the teachings of the Holy Quran unless you can fully identify the kind of persons who have forsaken it. You must seek knowledge from those who can give it to you. You must learn the Holy Book from those who know it, because they give life to knowledge and do away with ignorance. Those are the people whose judgment discloses the magnitude and the extent of their knowledge, whose silence is as eloquent as their speech, and whose day-to-day life is manifestation of the height of their piety and sincerity. They neither oppose the religion nor do they conflict about it. The religion with them is a living testimony of their piety, devotion, mental and spiritual exaltation. Sermon 151. This sermon is about the attitude of Talha and Zubair, and it was delivered at the time when they left for Basra, getting ready to revolt against Imam Ali. Each of these two persons, Talha and Zubair, is expecting the caliphate for himself only. They want to usurp it from the true caliph, the Imam himself. They neither attach themselves to Islam, the way of life that Allah has ordained, nor do they seek any means of gaining his favor. Each of them is jealous of the other. Their jealousy will be exposed soon. How true? During the journey to Basra, Talha and Zubair quarreled over the issue of leading the daily prayers, and Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha had to intervene and patch up the quarrel. She ordered that none of these two should lead the congregation, and instead on one day Zubair's son Abdullah and the next day Talha's son Muhammad should lead the prayers. Thus they were made to forsake their claim in favor of their sons. By Allah, if one gets the caliphate, the other will try to kill him and will also be killed in turn. The rebels, Talha, Zubair and their comrades, are ready to fight against Islam. But where are the persons who would persuade people to follow the commandments of Allah? Let them come forward. Dictates of the religion have already been fully explained to them by the Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants. He had more often than not told the Muslims that the Holy Quran and his Ahlul Bayt are to be followed. They could not and would not be separated till the day of judgment, and those who had followed them would never go astray. Remember that there is a cause for very vice or sin committed. Be watchful of those causes. And everyone who breaks a holy pledge creates a doubt about his sincerity and piety. Carefully examine sincerity and piety of each one who breaks a holy pledge. By Allah, I am neither unaware of nor careless about things posing dangers to Islam, and I know how to ward them off. I am not like those who go to condole the people on the death of their near relation and do not take lesson from it. Sermon 152. It was the time for the morning prayers, the 19th day of Ramadan, 40 after Hijrah, was about to dawn. Imam Ali called the people for prayers, roused those who were sleeping in the Masjid of Kufa. Abdurrahman bin Muljam was also one of them. Imam Ali advised him how to lie down while going to sleep, so that a man can obtain the best possible relaxation. And he also told him what a sword he was hiding in his garments and what evil intentions he had in his mind. Imam Ali then attended to the lanterns hanging in the masjid, relighting those which had gone out, and went to his place of prayer. It was his first rakat of the morning prayers, and he was bowing before Allah. The words, "Glory be to Allah, the All Great and Almighty, and He be praised," were upon his lips when Abdurrahman bin Muljam delivered the blow with the same sword that Imam Ali had pointed out. The sword gave a deep cut in his head. The prayer was interrupted. Ibn Muljam started running. People went after him. Nobody was now attending the prayers. There was commotion and chaos everywhere. But Imam Ali completed the two prostrations, sajdas. And then he reeled into the arms of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. The bleeding from the head was attended to. The blood-stained lips parted into thanksgiving prayers, And he said, I thank you, O Lord of Kaaba, for honoring me with martyrdom. How kind of you! How gracious of you! May your mercy further lead me to the glory of your realm. Ibn Muljim, caught by Sasa bin Sohan, was brought before him. Hands of assassin were tied behind his back. Imam Ali saw that the rope with which he was tied was cutting into his flesh. He forgot the wound of his head. He felt that though Ibn Muljim had delivered a fatal blow on him, yet he was human being and should be treated as such. He ordered Sasa to loosen the bonds of Ibn Muljim and to treat him humanly. The kindness touched the heart of the assassin. He started weeping. So did everybody. A smile played upon the lips of Imam Ali. And in a faint voice, he said, It is too late to repent now. You have done your deed. Was I a bad Imam? Oh, Ibn Muljim? Imam Ali lived 2 days after this. And in this period, whenever he came out of swoon, he delivered a few sermons. The following is supposed to be the last one. O people, every person tries to run away from death, yet meets death during one of these flights. Death is that ultimate end of life towards which everybody is being driven. The best form of flight from death is to face it when it arrives. A man can die but once. And to a pious man, death means eternal life. How many days of my life I have spent in anxious search of this reality, waiting desperately for this kind of death. But the Lord's will preferred it to remain concealed, till at last it was revealed to me. Nobody can know what kind of death will be in his lot and when it will come. Its knowledge is hidden from man and known only to Allah. Do not try to find it out. This kind of search will be fruitless. And when you learn of it, it will be too late to utilize the knowledge. Therefore, a better way of leading life is that you should not consider anybody as co-worker or partner of Allah. He is one. He and He alone deserves to be worshipped. And you should not inflict spiritual injury to the Sunnah, the path of the Holy Prophet. Keep these two pillars of Islam firmly and constantly standing. Keep these two lamps alight. Nobody will censor you if you vigilantly and sincerely protect these lamps. Every one of you has to shoulder his responsibility according to his capacity. The burden of the uneducated and ignorant is less than that of the educated and well-informed, because your Allah is merciful. He will not burden a person beyond his mental capacity. Your religion is strong. It cannot be an easy prey to schism and innovation. And your Imam is wise.